Welcome back to Radar, the music podcast showcasing the creative output from London and beyond. In each episode, we're joined by artists, students, and industry professionals to take an in-depth look into their musical journey, as well as the projects that they're passionate about. Before this episode starts, I want to take this opportunity to tell you about an exciting event that's coming up. SoulSync Presents are a student-led events group hosting their first gig of the year at the Slaughtered Lamb on Thursday the 4th of April, with music from Victoria Dell, Izzy Redmond, and Sevday. It's going to be a night of funk, soul and jazz, and tickets are still available, so get them while you can. You can find out more info on the SoulSync socials, that's at SoulSync Presents. In this episode, I'm joined by Davide Mora, a social media specialist and international music business student. We talked about Davide's move to London, working in content creation, and the difficulties of earning a living as an independent artist. Davide, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, James. Thank you for having me.
This is quite an interesting one because your backstory doesn't necessarily start in music.
Well, it doesn't necessarily. Like, I used to play an instrument like when I was a kid. So yeah, I've always been around music. Even my dad has always been like pushing me to listen to stuff and everything. So yeah, music is a very important part of my life. But I didn't intend to work in music at the beginning.
No, of course not. I mean, you moved to London in 2021.
Yes, October 2021. I moved to London 24th of October 2021, actually.
Exact day,
yeah.
Wow.
Exactly, yeah, to be a chef. Because that's what I do, like a very good Italian that comes and immigrate outside of his country. So yeah, I started being a chef because that's basically what I studied for back in Italy, and like that's what I always did. Mm. But yeah, at one point I just felt like that wasn't the right thing to do. And like, London is such a good city because it makes you understand a lot of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you just go around and you see what you like. There's a lot of stuff to do as well. Like, you go to your first gig and you're like, oh, I actually like this, and it's all vibrant and there's a lot of people. So yeah, that's probably like the main thing that wanted me to do something different that brought me to come to ICMP and study here. And yeah, of course, like I said, music is a passion for me. It's something that is always part of my life. So might as well just study something on it and start a career with it.
For sure. I mean, we'll talk about kind of the work that you do in the music industry now, but like what kind of drew you to ICMP in the first place? Because obviously you said that you moved here to kind of work in the culinary industry.
Yes.
So it's a big shift.
It is a big shift, yeah. Yeah. I'm always up for a good challenge, to be honest. That's the main reason why I moved to London, because I really want to spice up my life a little bit. I don't want to stay stagnant in the same place. I just want to, you know, have new adventures and just live my life a little. I think joining ICMP is mainly because I really wanted that thrill.
Yeah.
In my life, and like music, I think it brings that thrill, even if it's grassroots. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be a huge artist or like a huge manager or whatever. Like, every little bit of just being around music makes your life entertaining.
For sure.
So yeah, that's probably one of the main reasons why I joined ICMP. Also because I used to live close to the uni. So like, yeah.
Convenient.
I mean, to be honest, like, in my search, I was like, where should I go to start university? And I'm like, oh, look at that. 2 minutes away from where I live, that's ICMP.
Nice.
That's how I started.
So technically you are an international student then?
I am technically an international student, but let's say I'm lucky enough that I came here in 2019 before. Mm. So I got my Prosecco status. So right now, yes, I am an international student, but I don't have a visa.
Okay.
So yeah, it's useful for me. So I can keep working, and I'm still working right now. Like, I'm,
for sure.
Yeah, to maintain myself, I don't need maintenance loan. I do need a tuition fee loan, but still, you know.
And I think it's a unique situation that you're in, because obviously a lot of the students that start ICMP come straight from their home country purely to study music. What advice do you have for anybody that is international right now that wants to come to London to study at ICMP? Because it's a different situation for everybody.
I think it's a good shout, even coming with a visa, with a student visa, and like do like every other international student does. As long as you're in London, doesn't necessarily mean that you might have to stay in London for a work experience, but still you're making a lot of good connection.
Mm.
That's going to help you anyway, everywhere you are. I mean, it's always a good starting point, because I think London is like major hub in Europe. So you come and study music in London, and you leave music in London, and you're already in a good spot. Even though you're in a student visa, you spend 3 years, and maybe you do a postgraduate, you're all set. Doesn't necessarily mean you're making a lot of money, because obviously you cannot work a lot of hours.
Mm.
But it's all about like cultivating your talent. So like, I think it's beneficial for everybody, even if it's international, to come to London, ICMP or whatever, and study, because you got a lot of spare time in your hands.
Yeah.
And you can really, really do what you really like and enjoy.
And that's when you make those connections.
Exactly. But that is like, I mean, you can be a very good artist and you come to London and you can really, really bloom. You can really become something important just because you join a uni you meet the right people, you go to your lectures and you put the effort into it. It's just putting effort at the end. It doesn't matter your situation. If you can work just 2 hours a week or you can work 6 hours a week, like, it doesn't matter as long as you put effort into it.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, let's talk about the course itself, because we're both on music business.
Yeah.
Music business and entrepreneurship. What has been your experience on the course so far? We're both in second year now.
Well, first year was great. It was very eye-opening for me. Because like, as I said, I'm not coming from a background in music like yourself. Like, you've always been a musician and you always worked for music. You also went to college in music, isn't it?
That's true, yeah.
So I didn't do that. So for me, a lot of stuff that maybe for people were basic, for me wasn't. But I felt it was very cool because, I mean, I'm older than most of my classmates. So I felt a little bit left out because a lot of people, they knew a lot of stuff that I didn't, just because I didn't come for that world. But that pushed me forward to like start and proper learning about stuff. So that's why first year was like one of my favorite, because it was very pivotal for my decisions on what to do. And second year was great as well. Like, second year is great. I'm loving all the courses. I think like we have very good stuff to proper learn to do this work, to 100%. Work in the music industry. Best thing also are the guest lectures, like guests that come to ICMP and you can have a chat with them and you can learn always a little bit more about the music industry and find a job. I found a job as well, yeah.
100%. And that kind of happened for you in a way, kind of in semester A.
Yes, it did. It did. Like, after I spent like a year absolutely smashing that LinkedIn button of applying.
Because the worst thing that people can do is say no. Or like, if you don't get a reply, it doesn't matter, because there will always be someone else.
Be polite, just say what your experiences are and like make them understand that you really want to work. And like, that you want to, you know, make your ends. You want to get into the music industry. If you are able to pass that message to anybody, I think that they're going to give you a good chance.
For sure. And even like committing to studying at a place like ICMP, you're already like showing that you're passionate and that you want to make this journey.
Yeah, it's all about that. Yeah, it's all about the journey, isn't it? It's like, as long as you're enjoying what you're doing to go where you want to go, that's the best thing. That's why I wanted to change from being a chef and everything. Because like, what I really want to reach didn't quite fit in what I was doing at the moment and I wasn't enjoying it that much.
Yeah.
And right now I'm enjoying it a lot, even though I'm super busy, but still like, going to uni, meeting my friends, talking about music and then working in music and like listening to music. It's all a very positive experience for me. And yeah, it makes my day every single day when I wake up and listen to music and be like, I'm doing something good with my life. I'm happy to do this journey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think that our times are balanced in a very similar way in terms of like having a split for you between kind of the chef work and working in the music industry. And then for me, it's between film and the music industry.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you have any advice for maybe someone that's kind of struggling to balance two things? Maybe they're struggling to balance uni and their work life as well.
It's just like life is hard, isn't it? I mean, just put everything you have into that. Like, you're going to do that for 5 years and you're going to see that stuff is about to happen, you know? Like, you need to work 7 days a week. Do it.
Yeah.
Just do it and don't complain, you know? Like, there's people that go to the gym every single day of the week. I cannot do that. But still, you tell me to work 7 days of a week, I'll do it. It's like, that's my strength.
You've got really good determination when it comes to just consistently working. Like, you're one of the only people I know that does work 7 days a week.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, because I need to keep my chefing job, of course, because I need to pay my rent, I need to pay my bills.
Yeah.
And that's the main source of income. At the same time, I don't want to wait till I finish my uni to get a job and everything. I want to get started. I want to go in the ground and prove what I'm worth of. Like, prove what I studied. Like, start and actually do something. And that's great. Like, and if that means that I need to do stuff for 7 days of the week, it's fine. It's just work.
For sure.
Doesn't matter. Like, of course, I miss the good pleasure of life, which is like going around. But I mean, I've got holidays. I got holidays. I can do whatever I want anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not that bad. But yes, like the more you work, of course, the more stuff you need, you're going to get back from that work that you're putting in. You just need to be clever and not work for stupid people or like for people that just take advantage of you. Because of course, yeah, if you work 7 days a week for somebody that doesn't value the fact that you're working 7 days a week, there's no point for you to work 7 days a week.
You've got to feel value in the job that you're in, especially in the music industry.
Yes. I think it's not only feeling value or valuable, it's mostly about like feeling what you're getting off the experience. Because like you can feel like people are not treating you right. But in the same time, if you're learning a lot, that's already something that you can get along with.
Because I think in the music industry, there's, and the creative industries in general, there's a lot of internships. There's a lot of things that are unpaid.
that's true. But that's exactly why, like, that's exactly why you need to have something else, like me and you are doing. You cannot just base yourself on that internship or on that part-time job, because you need a base. You need to get the money to sustain yourself, because you need to live your life anyway, even though you're working a lot.
And especially in a city like London as well, like, it's so expensive and it's going to continue to be expensive.
London is crazy. London is unbelievably expensive. But it's not only about money, because, like, I think London is good not only because...
It's the place to be.
It's the place to be, yeah. It's exactly that. Because, like, it's a beautiful city, gorgeous. And I come from Italy, so it's quite gorgeous, my country, you know that. But, like, see, I mean, London is great. Like, living in London is the best, one of the best things that happened in my life, to be fair. Because, like, it's hard, but it's fun. It's tiring sometimes, but at the same time, you, like, feel full of power, full of force, of whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of people living in this city. And you've got a lot of connection to make, a lot of people to meet, and people that can possibly change your life in a positive way or in a negative way. It's all about the thrill of being in such a great city and be able to do whatever you want.
And it's so fast paced in terms of there's always, you meet people every day that are just doing something different. And yes, it's really refreshing to kind of interact with those people, because they're all kind of pushing themselves.
Exactly that. I come from a very small town in northern Italy. Literally 1,500 people lives in there. It's probably a flat building here in London. So it's not why I wanted to be there. Like, I mean, I love the place. I love the people, because, I mean, it's my friends and my house, my home. But at the same time, it's nothing to do. It's gorgeous, yes, but what do I get out of there? Like, my option, if I didn't come to the UK, was, like, go to Switzerland, work there, make a lot of money, just do that.
But it's the fulfillment that you miss.
I miss the fulfillment, and I miss the thrill of, like, going outside of your comfort zone and just go and adventure yourself. And, like, for me, it's all about living life a little bit more every single day and do something different every single day, because that's what I think keeps you alive a little.
And even if you're not an international student, I think that even moving to London from somewhere else, from, like, a small village in the UK, it's the same sort of thing, because
it's a huge cultural shock.
It's a cultural shock, and you kind of outgrow your surroundings.
True.
Like, you feel like a big fish in a small pond.
I mean, the opposite, though. Like, if I go back to my country, yes, I do feel like a big fish
in a small pond. But then that changes, because you become the small fish in the big pond when you move to London.
Exactly. That's exactly it. Like, yeah. I remember the first day that I came to London, it was a crazy day. Because, like, I was waiting for a mate that was finishing work, because he was the guy that provided me the first flat where I moved in.
Okay.
And I arrived in Victoria Station from Gatwick. I went to Baker Street and I waited there for like 4 hours at the restaurant. And my first flat was in Kilburn. So you can imagine the shock that I had.
Oof.
Yeah. But going on, I managed to, you know, get in a better place, meeting new people, making friends, of course. Like, it takes time, because you don't need to force that. But,
and of course, your kind of route of accommodation has been different to a lot of the students at ICMP, because you've never been in student accommodation.
No, and I'm glad, to be honest, because I really don't like that. I want to live by myself. I need my space. And if I live with, I need to live with people, I need to live with people that I know.
Some people have a hard time adjusting to that environment, especially...
I think that's also a small town mentality, because that's where I come from.
Like, yeah, it's like everyone knows everyone.
I've never been in that kind of situation. If I had to live with somebody, I always live with friends.
Yeah.
So that's what makes a difference for me.
But for some people, that's also like... That's the way that you make kind of friends for life.
That's true. But there's other ways to make friends for life, you know? Like, you go to uni, you make friends for life in uni. Like, you go to work and you can make friends for life in work.
Mm.
Or you go to the pub and you make friends for life in the pub. You can make friends everywhere.
If there's one place you're going to make friends in a pub, it's in London.
Through that.
Let's talk about your work a little bit more, because you kind of work in social media. You kind of work in content development.
Yeah, I work in I do marketing and social media. Like, right now, I'm a marketing specialist.
Okay.
For an online promoter called GoToBeat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also thanks to ICMP, because, like, we had Max, the...
The guest lecturer.
Yes.
On Max, Music Business.
The founder, which is the guest lecturer.
Fantastic guy, by the way. Really great guy.
Yeah. I love the guy. Like, the best thing about him is he's so easygoing. Like, you can tell that the guy has a lot of experience. Even though he's quite young. But he's got a lot of experience. Like, he actually knows what he wants. He already had enterprises before this one, and he knows what to do. He's very organized, and he's guiding you a lot, even though he doesn't say much. Like, it's a very different way of what I'm used at. Like, all my employers were very strict, or like a little bit more old school. Whilst this experience, like seeing him, it's such a different vibe, different environment. Everyone is lovely. Everyone is like cheerful, and you have a very good time in the office. And everybody does his job and he does it properly, just because Max is so easygoing.
And that's a sign of a good boss.
He's very good boss. He's great. He's actually great. And he really, you can tell that he genuinely cares what he's doing. Mm. Like, he really, really, really loves music industry. He really loves Go To Beat. He really loves being a promoter. He really loves working with grassroots venues and artists.
And he's giving a platform. He's giving a platform to these grassroots musicians.
Exactly. But that's exactly my point. Like, he cares so much.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, tell me a bit about kind of what you do day to day there at Go To Beat.
So right now, I'm in part-time. Mainly what I do, I take care of the social medias. Yeah. And I do some marketing strategy. But as I say, I'm part-time, so I'm not covering the full spectrum of the company. Mm. So yeah, it's basically just social media management right now, and a little bit of advertisement and stuff.
So that's kind of creating posts, like reels?
Yeah, like content creation and like collecting, like taking pictures, collecting stuff, and
yeah,
just make everything look nice. And then of course social media strategy and like how to get a lot of reach, why
engagement.
We need to get, yeah, like, you know, it's very hard because it's not something that you just open a book and it's like, okay, you need to do it like this.
It's different for every industry.
It's different for every industry. And okay, with them, I also work for the restaurants that the founder has in Italy. And like, it's two different industries. Like in the music industry, they are picky, but you don't post consistently as you post in the food industry. Because in the food industry, you need to have very high quality stuff. Like, it cannot be a random shot of you on the stage that plays some music. It needs to be highly professional video recording of the best food that you can make.
Of the products, yeah.
Yeah, you need to post regularly. You need to be spot on. Like, when I started to push a little bit the pages, I used to do a post a day for 2 months. Now I'm down to 3 posts a day. To 3 posts a week. It's still a lot because you need to make quality content, and it's 3 different posts every week.
And it's consistent. It's never ending. Yeah.
It's never ending, and it keeps going. On the side also, we do in Italy as well, comedy shows and live gigs.
Oh, wow.
Well.
So it still all comes down to events, technically.
It's always down to events, but the social media management part is mainly for the restaurants, whilst on the other side, I'm doing mainly, you know, advertisement for the events, for the comedy shows and everything.
Because even when people come to a restaurant, it's still an event for them, and it's an experience for them.
Exactly. That's what you need to sell. Like, you need to send experience. That's like base of marketing at the end. Like, you need to make people understand why you're better than everybody else, more or less.
Pretty much.
And it's hard because like social media right now, I think, well, they're so key, social media, that it's so saturated. So it's very hard to get out of the big mass of blob of a lot of content from every single place in the world.
Mm.
And get a lot of visibility is hard. And you have a little tricks that you can do, but you'll never be sure that that's going to work for your restaurant or for your business or for your Instagram page or for your Facebook page or whatever. Like, everything is different.
And it's down to the algorithm as well.
You're fighting every single day with an algorithm. Like, you're fighting every single day because you need to. It's hard. It's an algorithm, you know, like, and the way it's structured is like so hard to do it. Because like, for example, now, especially Meta, like, you get a lot more from the algorithm when you've got like meaningful interactions on your post, which means like comment and then a comment to the comment. And like, the more you have, the more you get a boost for it. It's very hard to get a comment on Instagram right now, which is not an 8 comment.
And there's people that obviously that work in content creation and social media that try to predict these trends and predict what's going to happen. And it's changing all the time. It's hard to kind of pinpoint why these posts are working.
It's hard. But at the same time, it really depends. Because like, you can understand how posts are working for yourself.
But on a bigger scale.
On a bigger scale, you can never tell. Because like, I mean, you will never know what's going to go viral until it goes viral.
Yeah.
And when it goes viral, everybody else is going to do the same content. So
and it's like we've worked on content with the film company with Bird Bush that's, you know, gone completely viral, like sort of 5-10 million views. But then you work on the next thing and it's like maybe a couple of thousand, and you kind of have to figure out, why is this the case? And even for musicians who are studying at ICMP, maybe they're putting out their own content right now. It can be frustrating to have one post that does really well, and then maybe you work really hard on another post and it doesn't reach as many people.
That's just normal. That's the social media life, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I think that especially from somebody that is a musician that maybe just started and he's got, you know, a small fan base and everything, the best thing you can do is like not following trends is the best thing you can do. Just do your stuff.
Be yourself.
Yeah. It's like you make your own fan base, you know? You decide what's your fan base. You don't need to let other people decide for you, you know? You don't need to be like, oh, this artist does this thing. I think it's very cool. I'm going to do it as well. Yes, you can do that as well.
You can take inspiration, yeah.
Yeah, but you need to be your own. You need to be unique. That's how you create your fan base, and that's how you grow your social media, and that's how people will come to your page because they like your content. It's pretty much like YouTube used to be back in the days. Like, yeah, now you've got a lot of creators, but you can categorize them. You can put them, okay, they do this, and the other guys, they do vlogs, somebody does gaming, but it's pretty much the same thing. But the only difference that it makes is who does it and the way that it does it, because it's unique.
You can still have music that maybe sounds like other artists, but what it all boils down to is your fan base aren't listening to you or aren't engaging with your content because you sound like those artists. They're also engaging with your content because it's you. Exactly. Because it's your personal project.
I think like the best thing in the music industry right now, like what makes the music industry so great and what I actually like about the music industry is like that it's complex and there's a lot of stuff that goes into forming a great artist as well as every other single aspect. Like you always need to be creative, especially in the creation part, not only in the music creation part, but like in your character creation, how you're gonna perform, what dress you're gonna put on during the gig. Like every single detail in the music industry makes a huge difference.
And there's so many moving parts.
Exactly. That's exactly what I like. Like it's alive. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it's an alive industry and I really, really enjoy it.
And especially with some of these major label artists as well, like the average consumer may not realize how many people are on their team just for individual parts of their work.
Yeah.
And I think that's also why it can be so rewarding to have a career in the music industry, because there's so many aspects or jobs that people just may not realize exist.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly one of my first realization that I had when I started in ICMP. There's many, many stuff that you can actually do. And to be honest right now, like as long as it's related to music, I'm happy. Because I just want to, you know, try out, see what I like the most.
I was going
to
say, you're very open.
Yeah, I'm very open because like I say, like as long as it's related to music, I'm fine with it. Like I want to spend my days like meeting artists, listen to their music, go to gigs, anything related to that, that's great.
And I think that's why a business course in music can be so useful, because it kind of outlines those different areas of the industry and it doesn't tie you down to one part of the industry. You're learning about everything.
Exactly. It gives you a lot of knowledge on a lot of stuff.
The full scope.
The full scope, exactly. And like, especially for me, I'm not a musician. Even though I'm doing a music business course, I did understand a lot of stuff about musicians anyway. Like, I'm not saying that I can come and start making my own music, because nah. But still, you know?
You kind of know your way around Logic Pro, though.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just because I'm lazy and I really don't want to put myself into it. But I reckon, yes. I mean, one day will come that I will want to say something myself and I will start to do something myself.
How do you think your experience as a non-musician differs to the musicians that are on the business course at ICMP?
I think a musician can actually benefit a lot from this.
I think a lot of people just think that the business course is just for people that want to work on the other side of that.
Absolutely not. Like, I think that you, as a good artist, you need to be, especially right now on how is the music industry becoming, like you need to be able to be fully independent.
Yeah.
You need to be able to be your manager, your agent, your record label. You need to be able to be yourself. Then, of course, if an opportunity happens, definitely, like, it's like scaling up a business. Like, you're just going to become better because somebody is going to help you out, and that's for sure. But at the really beginning, especially if you're a grassroots artist, you need to know the basics. You don't need to get, like, people taking advantage of you.
Yeah.
You need to know what's in a contract. You need to know what's the best way for you to get the best out of your music with publishing or with record deals or whatever.
And you need to know how to protect your rights as an individual
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. You need to learn this stuff. It's like, it's not all about performance. It's not all about writing music. It's also about the business side of music. Because like, the first thing an artist needs to understand that you as an artist, you are your business and you need to treat yourself as a business.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And then you're a creative person. which is totally different. But you can be creative and you can treat yourself as a business in the same way. And if you do that, you're already one step forward. Everybody else is not doing it.
And I think a lot of the kind of most successful musicians that we see on the scene right now are people that come from the understanding of knowing how to market yourself as a musician. Yes, they've got teams around them now,
yeah.
But at the beginning, that was all stuff that they were doing independently.
I also think that they have teams around them now. Like a lot of artists, they probably shouldn't have a bigger team just because they don't have that huge of a following or because they blew up on TikTok or something.
There's definitely people who have teams around them now that are sort of with signed to the major labels that might not necessarily need them.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like the big point is like there's too many people that want a slice of a cake.
Too many cooks.
Yeah. And the thing is like you need to have, like you as an artist, like I'm dreaming of a future where the music industry is completely taken care by artists. Like an artist needs to be able...
Artist-driven.
Artist-driven, exactly. Like artist needs to be able to get as much as he needs or as he wants or as he can from his own music. Because that's how it's supposed to be, yeah. in my own point of view. I understand that how important are record labels, publishing and everything. Everything is it's unbelievably important. But that's also take off a lot of power from artisans because... people seem to forget that the main reason why they have a job is because somebody's making music in his room right now.
Mm.
And maybe one day it's going to be liked by a lot of other people.
And that's why we're seeing a decline in kind of the demand for the major labels now.
Of course, people want to be independent. They don't want to give free money around, you know what I mean?
Like exactly.
That's and their money.
People have realized that they can do a lot of these things on their own.
Yeah. Also, streaming as well plays a big part in that. Like, I think with streaming, a lot of artists lost their power. Like, Spotify right now, it just became like a big marketing company. Like you just need to post on Spotify. And how long is it going to take till you're going to have to post 3 songs a week on Spotify like you do on social media right now?
I mean, what is like, the figure? The figure at the minute is, isn't it something like 150,000 songs are uploaded to Spotify every day?
Yeah, probably even more right now.
It's ridiculous. And because the independent artist has so much power in where their music goes now with platforms like DistroKid,
exactly.
You know, TuneCore, Ditto, self-distribution is at an all-time high and I think it's only going to continue to go up.
But I'm super happy for that. And I think everybody needs to do that. The only thing is that there's the big shadows of the big majors, which is like, you know, Apple Music and Spotify and all these big companies that just put all of this stuff in the shade just because they're making a lot of money out of that, which is all right because, like, I mean, we wouldn't be in this situation if Spotify wasn't created in the first place.
Of course.
I think it's pretty much organic. Like, everything needs, it's going to change in the future. It's not going to be stagnant. Like, we all saw how music industry can change itself every single year, how many stuff can happen.
And you think about it, Apple Music isn't actually that old.
Exactly.
Like, it was iTunes before that, but yeah. Like, the actual Apple Music streaming platform isn't that old at all.
It isn't that old, yeah. But that's exactly what I'm saying, like...
It's been such a quick shift over the last 25 years in terms of how the consumers actually consume music in general.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, I think that the biggest problem that the music industry has right now is that people think that the music is free.
Yeah, and James Blake made a really good point about this recently in an interview where he said that physical music isn't seen as the first place to consume music anymore.
Exactly. But I mean, I see the point, and that's also something that we need to understand as well. People want streaming, people want easy accessibility to your music. The main problem is that you artist, to give this accessibility, you're getting nothing in return. And people start to think that music is actually free.
Yeah.
So I think that the two way forward that we're gonna have in front of us is gonna be either fully AI generated music, just because it's free, and you can have it whenever you want, as much as you want, or proper artist music, but at the price that you need to pay for it.
Because you wouldn't go to a cinema and expect to not have to pay anything to see the film.
To be fair, right? I mean, there's a lot of people that really go to cinemas just because they enjoy the environment and see the movies and everything because they understand, but like, everybody wouldn't mind to stay at home and watch a Netflix something or like pay £1.50 on YouTube and rent the film out
for
the night.
Of course, but what I'm saying is that people are forgetting that music costs money to make.
Yes, but that's the main problem. Like, is it either we're going to find a way to make artists get what they need from the music to keep making better music instead of giving out for free. Because that's what essentially they're doing. Like, they're spending a lot of money to put it out for free, basically, or get like little money in return, and then hoping that one day they're going to blow up and they're going to start make proper money out of it. That's what's happening right now, I think. And There's a lot of middle artists, like small entities as well around, that they're making money out of music, of course, but is that enough? That's exactly what I'm saying. Because like,
that's the debate.
That's where you need a record label, because you don't have that kind of money to sustain yourself as an independent at one point in life, because you're going to still earn the amount of money, even though your fan base is growing, but it's never going to be enough to be able to get enough money for you to live and get enough money for you to live and pay music.
And you load up Spotify now, and if you were to go on New Music Friday, the first people at the top are going to be the people that are signed to the major labels.
Of course.
Because they're the music that's promoted first.
Look at all the charts as well, like all the top 50, all the top 10s and everything. It's pretty much
major dominated.
Sony, that's it. Yeah. That's how it is. Yeah, I mean, fair enough. They're good businesses. What can you do? There's huge record label. A lot of music wouldn't go out. A lot of the best music that probably you listen to as well right now wouldn't be there, because if it wasn't for them.
But you look back and like to the 60s and 70s, and music was so inaccessible back then. You had to be with a record label to get in the studio.
Oh yes, true. But also,
it's back been in such the days, a quick shift.
Also, back in the days, music was valuable for people.
It was, and it wasn't. The market wasn't saturated.
Exactly. Like back in the days, you with a proper album or with a piece of music, you would then change people's mind. Like you would have changed people's mind. You would have changed the shift of history. You would have make people doing a revolution. You would have make people, I don't know, like, you know, a lot of stuff, like stopping the war in Vietnam. If it wasn't for music pushing the people that started to get the feeling of like, oh,
hope.
Yeah, you know, the hope, or also like the anger against the government and everything, like that was music back in the days. Right now, people don't care about that anymore.
On the flip side, that's not to say that you can't really appreciate good songwriting, because, you know, there's some incredible songwriters around right now, and a lot of them are ICMP right now.
Yeah, but it's always like that. Like, I'm not generalizing. Of course, there's a lot of people that are very good songwriters. Of course, there's a lot of people that have meaningful songs. Problem is that right now you've got everybody that thinks they can make music, and everybody is making music. So you've got a lot of music out. Back in the days, like you said, like if you're not non-signed with a record label, you're not putting out any music. So back in the day, music was more malleable, that's for sure.
But in a way, despite how saturated the market is, what it does do is then when there is a really good artist or there is a really good piece of music, they shine through.
Yeah.
They shine through all of this competition, because
I also think that they shine through as well because they have the right people behind them as well. Like,
it's two sides of the coin, isn't it?
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
You'll find the pure talented artist that shines through because he's a great artist, whilst at the same time you find a normal artist that shines through just because a record label makes him shine through.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
At the end of the day, what it all comes down to is that the best thing about music is that there will always, for the rest of time, be room for someone to sit down, write a song, and for you to connect to it.
Oh, yeah. Music is like, how you say, it's like a primary source. Like, you cannot
live without music. Yeah, it's a powerful thing, yeah.
Like, it's always been there, and it always will be.
In the same way that, you know, someone can sit down and paint you a picture, or they can sit down and write you a poem. It's anything creative where it requires this kind of stimulation of the brain will always be as valuable as it's ever been.
Well, music is a form of art. Like, painting shows you how something is. Well, music makes you feel like somebody else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you see the world with other people's eyes because you're listening to them.
We're really lucky in the industry right now, because despite how saturated the market can seem at times, there is so much good music right now.
Yeah, it's great, because like it's super great for that. The only problem is that there's not enough money for them, and that's the only thing that worries me, because like you might have like very good artists that are gonna make music for like 6 years, and then they're gonna just be like, there's no point.
It's why I love platforms like Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Because you log on to Bandcamp and you've got the artist most of the time selling their own music independently, and often as a reward for that, they might give you some content that you can't find anywhere else.
Exactly.
Platforms like Spotify and Apple Music, you know, artists are getting paid like 0.0003 pence per stream or whatever it is. Whatever it's lower it is, than that.
Something like that. No, it's a bit higher, but like still anyways, we're talking not even a cent, so.
Yeah, and you kind of look at that and you think, wow, is it, for a lot of artists, that's not an encouraging thing at all.
Exactly. But I think also like, It's also because it's private companies at the end of the day. So like, well, what can you do about it? Like, it's their choice. If people use it, they can do nothing about it. Like, this is my company. This is how I want to do my business. If people keeps using it, what do you want me to change? And it makes sense. Because it's either every user in Spotify is going to stop using Spotify for like 2 months and then they're going to change something.
Yeah.
But that's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
Or either at the beginning, people wouldn't like Spotify at all and that's it.
Well, this is why we're music business students. We've got to create the change.
This is why we need to create. Yeah, but that's true. Because like the good thing about ICMP that made me understand is like not only ICMP, but like starting from ICMP, you can see a lot of young people like us, a lot of students from every little aspect of the music industry, you know?
Yeah, and they're driven to make the change.
Yeah, we are the generation that are going to replace the people that are in charge right now, in a way or another.
One way or another, yeah.
One way or another. So that's the thing. Like, it's good that me and you are here speaking about this right now, so and we are not the only one. So the idea, this concept is already in us.
Yeah, 100%.
So one way or another, one day, something's going to happen. Something's going to change in a positive way for the artists and for the people that work in music.
And hopefully that's pretty soon.
You just need to wait for a great genius that comes up with a very good idea and music is going to change.
The next big thing.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good point to end on. Let's hope that we get the next big thing in terms of artist revenue and making a living from music as time
goes
on.
That would be great, yeah. Getting back from the roots, but in a digital way, that would be good.
We shall see. Davide, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, James. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Radar. If you enjoyed it, be sure to rate it 5 stars through your podcast platform. Remember, you can catch us on social media through all of the ICMP channels. And if you want to get involved in future episodes or suggest guests, you can email us radarpodcast@icmp.ac.uk.